support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC comes from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, architecture and engineering for the new frontier. It is my pleasure to welcome Young Fangs to the KUAC Alaska Live studios. I'm your host, Lori Neufeld. Hey, who wants to introduce the band?
Hello.
Josh would like to?
I would love to introduce the band. My name is Josh Labuda. I play guitar and bass. This is Brendan Labuda. He plays guitar and bass. And Joel Fagry plays the drums and an occasional tambourine. No, he doesn't. He hates tambourine.
This is radio, but there is no tambourine in the studio.
Yeah, don't let it fool you.
All right. Well, what will be the first song that's on the set list?
This song is called Have and Hold.
Across this vast expanse, as soft as gold, she tells me, shimmering, we're alone. At the break of day, flowers fill her hair in jasmine. For the whisper of these words, to have and to hold, to need to grow. Easy love, let it to have, to hold, to have, to hold, to need.
Young Fangs, so nice to have you here on Alaska Live. Seems like you've been a band for a while.
Yeah.
And we've meant to have you on before, but it just didn't happen yet. And so it's nice to finally make it a reality. So cool.
Thank you.
And that song, is that the name of the new album that's coming out?
No.
To Happen to Hold?
That's the name of our single that actually is available on iTunes. SoundCloud for you to download and listen to. We actually haven't figured out a name for our new record, and Brett and I were talking about it, and we're kind of hoping to see themes as a recording and lyrics, and to see if there's a one thing that kind of follows through the whole album that we could just capture and make that the name of the record. So
it's a work in progress.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
Yeah,
it's great.
Always.
That's one of the songs that you can find on SoundCloud, and just look up Young Fangs and mm-hmm. SoundCloud comes up.
Yeah, and iTunes too, you can find
it. iTunes. And you're giving away your music right now?
Yeah, we're giving away our EP. We recorded it with our friend Daniel in August 2011.
Oh, Daniel Furman?
Daniel Randall.
Randall, okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
He's a great musician too. But yeah, we recorded it way back when, and it's right now, it feels like... It's not really us anymore, and so we want people to listen to it and share it if they like it and have the freedom to do that, and we love it when people have the opportunity, because since there's so much music now that people don't even give new music a chance because they're like, it's probably just like something else that I've heard like 10,000 other bands I see online. So,
but at least Alaskans are very loyal to Alaskans, it seems like.
Oh,
and so, you know, you've got a huge fan base here in Fairbanks and the area and Alaska as a whole, and hopefully it's spreading down the coast.
Yeah, we've had people email us from Pittsburgh and Hawaii and Colorado and California and even
Poland.
I think Poland. Yeah, somebody
hey.
somebody bought our CD in Poland. So the magic of the internet.
You have international fans. It's very cool.
We have one.
Yes.
And that's good to know.
That was a great song to start out with. What's the next one?
This next one is called Nightshade.
Night
That one's going to be on the new album?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Young Fangs are here at the KUAC studios for Alaska Live. And all this music is coming from three of them. And it's kind of amazing that it's a lot of sound out of two guitar players and the drummer that you're playing cajon today, Joel. It's a lot less trouble to load in just one little box. He seems to like that idea. Drummer has very little words, just thumbs up for the box of drums.
He doesn't want to stand up.
It's okay. You don't have to yet. We'll address you in a bit.
Okay.
So how long ago did the band start? Quite a few years ago?
I think in 2011 we did a cover show here at UIF.
The Great Cover Up.
Yeah, the Great Cover Up. We covered a couple of Kings of Leon songs, and then we got asked, I think, afterward to play a pub show for, I think, The Quiet Life was coming up. Mm-hmm. And we're like, yeah, we'll do that. And I wasn't 21 yet, but they said it wouldn't be a problem. They'd get me in. So we went back to our cabin, and in like a week we wrote, like, I think, four songs. We figured four songs, four covers would be good. And then the day of the show, we were like, oh, he can't play, by the way, but you guys can play. And they're like, well, we're a three-piece, so that's not really going to work. And he plays half the songs. And so, but we're like, well, we already have some songs, I guess. We started playing some house shows around town. That's kind of how it started. And then...
So did you end up being able to play that gig, or you could not?
No, we didn't play it at all. I think they had Feeding Frenzy, I think, open, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, but we figured we already had songs, and so why not just play and
well, it was
stuff.
Good to work towards something, even if that something didn't happen then.
That was good.
Because, you know, you ended up having more things happen that way.
Yeah.
So you played the Great Cover Up, but that was at the pub, right? Or it was
the all-ages show? Ballroom.
Oh, okay.
It was the all-ages cover up.
Yeah.
They had them right near each other, so they would encourage a lot of people that went to 21 and over to go to the pub one as well and play.
I've been to the Great Cover Up, and it's very fun, but explain a little bit about what that annual event is about, because there's lots of listeners that are like, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's about just people, like a bunch of bands in town, even pickup bands, people that just play music, but they want to be part of something. It's an opportunity for people to come together and learn covers to your favorite songs. And you also have to dress like the band. So the Red Hot Chili Peppers band was definitely one of the most entertaining shirtless bands.
Who pulled that one off?
I can't remember which. It was just, I can't remember who it was. It was a
bunch of shirtless.
Bunch of shirtless.
Yeah.
Bunch of soft shirtless dudes.
The one year I went, there was Rammstein.
Yep. Yeah, there was, I think my favorite one was somebody did Paper Scissors, did Modest Mouse, and then Rebecca File did Beirut. And it was one of the coolest. Oh, and the Scurvies, which a lot of Alaskan listeners know, the Scurvies from Fairbanks.
Yes, from
and,
Fairbanks.
And they covered Bob Dylan. And so it was a really, it was a great cover up. And
the bands keep it under wraps who they're covering
Super,
until the night that they get on stage.
Only
and
the
then,
people
yeah.
that, only the venue knows who's what they're playing. But then you get on stage and dressed up and it's just super exciting. It's a great event.
It what a great idea.
It's a cool idea.
And a good way for bands to get started, too. Like you say, there's pickup bands that have gotten their start at the Great Cover-Up, just like you guys did. So when do you know if that's happening again this year sometime?
Usually, it used to happen around Halloween.
All right.
And so, but they've been, then now it's been going on in January. And so
wonderful. I mean, you need a... You need a reason to dress up in January, too.
Absolutely.
In costume.
Yeah,
why not? Who needs a
reason? Yeah, right.
Who needs a reason?
I wear capes all the time.
Yeah, every morning.
Young Fangs are here for Alaska Live at the KUAC studios. I'm your host, Lori Neufeld, and we'll hear another song. The last one, Nightshade, was that the name
Nightshade.
Of that one?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Show me the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This one's called Show Me the Way. A shutter collecting every color, but I see you in just two, black and white baby, you're true. Oh, black and white baby, you're true. Oh, black and white baby, you're true. Pouring out all of your holy water.
All right, if you have a hit, that's it, right there.
Oh, cool.
I mean, you know, I think because it's a super catchy tune, and it was chosen to be the soundtrack for the Explore Alaska video that you guys contributed to. And wow, who approached you for the Explore Alaska video?
Casey,
I think, emailed us. And from Goff Films, and yeah, they said, hey, we need some music for this. Do you want to be a part of it? And
Casey and Sherman,
yeah, good guys. And they said, you want to do this? And we said, we're too busy. And then
wait, whoa.
And then they said, well, how about this schedule? Does it work better for you? And we're like, absolutely. And so yeah, and they were just we showed up.
Downtown. The Antler Arch.
And
that's Pioneer Park, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we filmed and we hung out, and then we didn't even know what it would look like and to what scale it would be used for.
They laughed
at our jokes, so that's why we kept coming back.
Not make it into the video.
I know.
They're in the blooper reel.
Yeah.
But it was just so cool to see how it kind of evolved into something so beautiful and wonderful. And
it's a great video showcasing, you know, what Fairbanks and the surrounding area has to offer in all seasons, really. They did some nice video footage of dog sled races and Chino Hot Springs and all around town up at the university. Mm-hmm. And you guys make it in the video, too, sometimes.
Yeah.
Your whole song is going throughout that song, Show Me the Way. But you guys actually make it. You're playing on the Riverboat Discovery at one point?
Yeah, we are. We're you know, shaking our hips, and there's people watching us from the shoreline.
They can only hit the drums
because we weren't even plugged in really at anything. And so they had a speaker playing the song, and so we're just strumming. And everybody just hears Joel on the drums banging the cymbals. So
going past.
You see your boat going by, and you're a drummer. And
like, that's odd. Did we just see that?
Yeah, it was so, like, yeah. That was pretty, funny. I felt kind of dorky. And we did it like three times. We went by the pump house at least three times.
Waving every time.
Waving, yeah, guys. They're still here.
Because that's what they wanted in the background for the shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had a shot from the pump house and with the boat going by. And so, like, well,
right.
Let's tie it in.
Got to keep doing
regular
it.
Regular artists.
And Joel on drums is the only one that refused to just totally lip sync it and fake it.
You can't fake it.
Just can't fake it.
You can't fake it or you won't make it. That's what he says. That's his thing.
Exactly.
You say that.
I say that
every day.
Right after I put on my cake.
Is Show Me the Way, that's on the EP that you have out, right? Okay, so that won't be on the new album, I guess.
No.
You don't put same songs on albums.
No, we thought about it, and we're like, nope, new batch.
We can
do it.
Brendan was staunchly against it.
He was, okay, let's be honest. I thought it was a good idea. And he just stayed strong. And I was like, we'll have to record less songs. And he's like, nope, don't want it.
You aren't just bandmates, you're brothers, so does that make those discussions just a little more heated sometimes?
Oh. You mean every discussion?
Yeah. Whether it's about the band or about life and living.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I guess because we're not afraid to hurt each other's feelings.
Yeah.
You know,
and
love
Joel's
will
a part
win.
Of the family now, so we're not afraid to hurt his feelings either.
Yeah.
So.
But he's very neutral, and then, so we just get mutually angry at him.
Yeah, we'll be shooting it back and forth, and we'll both turn to Joel, and he'll be like, you know,
You guys are both right.
I like us both ways.
Or you're both wrong.
I love you both the same.
Equal parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true brotherly love there.
Yeah.
It's nice. Well, let's hear another song maybe, and then we'll talk a little bit about what it's like for you, Joel, to be in a band of brothers. We'll be right back.
strong enough, take on the whole world. She still got that pretty little smile. And her daddy said, don't go run around to break your heart instead. Boys will only take her for a ride. Back door, you see me coming, drive you home, but no place that you've ever known. Young girl, still searching for a place, lonely but not alone. Take stride, taping everything you thought you left behind. People in this town like to talk, and it's easy getting through this life on the freeway. What you got to show for when you're done? Back door, you see me coming, drive you home. Young girl, still searching for a place, lonely but not alone. All of the kids run into the night. You look so pretty, looking for a fight. All of the boys will go running to you. I'll be the one you're running to.
Brennan, did you write that song?
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured since you're singing lead on
it. Yeah, I
write
the song. Songs I write, I sing, and the songs he writes, he sings. So.
That makes sense. You don't write.
We all kind of work on them together.
Sure. You know,
like, here's what I got, and then build them from there. But.
And have you always been into music as a duet, or how? What was it like growing up in the household? Was it a musical household?
My dad liked to play saxophone.
All right.
And he kind of all wanted us to get into music, and so he started doing a clarinet, and then him and my dad would do, like, I don't know, old, like, jazz covers and stuff together, and then I did piano for a while, and I wanted to play electric guitar when I was preteen, and then my dad said it was too loud, and so he got me a classical guitar, and so I learned flamenco and classical music. But I'd go online and then use up all of our printer paper to print out guitar tabs, and so then we would just learn a bunch of radio songs, and And then eventually we started just writing our own stuff, but separately. And then it wasn't until we moved into a cabin, the three of us, and started. I think we kind of wrote, we'd play stuff together, but it wasn't like writing material until after the cover up was the first time we actually worked together on material and then started writing.
So you all lived in a cabin together before you were even a band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
How cliche.
Josh and I moved in because it was convenient.
Yeah, we
brought Brendan in because that was also
because we felt sorry for him.
Well, we didn't want to pay as much money.
Yeah, it was a lot cheaper. Yeah,
splitting it three ways rather than two is way better.
Yeah, me and Brendan. We have two siblings and our parents. We were living in Chino Hot Springs, and I was getting older, and I was like, I want to move out. I want to stay up late and do stuff. So yeah, so Joel and I were friends, and we're like, why don't we just move in together, and Brendan can come too, and I guess. I don't remember how we asked you. But and we just started, that's when we started really getting close.
And you were all going to UAF?
Brendan and I were, and Joel's working. Nice.
Well, life has changed for you guys since living three guys in a cabin, starting a band, playing the pub. Mm-hmm. You're all like married and have kids and little kids.
The whole kit and caboodle.
The whole kit and caboodle. Life has changed for all three of you.
Joel never went out anyway at night.
He never did anything that would require him to change his lifestyle.
Oh, Joel, you got to come to a mic now because now they've just got you.
Are
you
going to defend myself?
Yeah.
I won't. That's pretty much true.
So when they wanted to play a late night gig, you said, during the day?
We all said, but... Less, I guess back then we were pretty game. We didn't really care about staying up late because, we'd just go to work. Brennan and I both had to wake up at like 4 in the morning, maybe a little before to go to work. And some of my fondest memories are just having the black cold coffee in the coffee and then running it through the old grounds to make a hot cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And then going, Brennan, I'm really hungry. Like, yeah, me too. Like, oh, there's some cake. Like, okay. And then filling up a big cup of this disgusting coffee and then grabbing a thing of cake and then like getting in our cars. Brendan never warmed his car up. He's just cranking his car out there and I'm like, whatever.
You know, you just need to make a hole small enough to see through in your windshield until the rest of your defrost. So
yeah,
or going to bed at like 12 o'clock and then someone's on the couch playing video games and you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to work and they're still there playing video games.
That'd be Josh. That was me. That's funny. I would do that and then I'd wake up in the morning and then he's laying in the most uncomfortable position and I'm like...
Well, Black Ops just came out I wanted to finish the campaign.
He was the only one who played the campaign anyway. Nobody else played
it. Was a
good
campaign.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so.
Your wives are listening at home going, yep, we saved them from that. We totally saved them
whatever,
from that.
Whatever, my wife's going home like, yeah, sounds about right. Nothing's really changed.
Still playing video games after the kids go to sleep.
Yeah. Babe, I'll be up in like 10.
Well, it's really, that's great. And your kids, you know, they can start a band together too because they're all about the same age. And, you know, maybe they'll be the classical flamenco group or the jazz group because kids usually don't completely follow in the footsteps of their parents.
Stubborn.
Yeah. They are. Yeah. Typically.
So
The new EP or the new album, you've put out an EP already, and the EP is actually on disc too, so you don't have to. And do you take that with you to your gigs sometimes?
We're supposed to.
So we have a
friend. What your manager tells you to do?
Our friend Mark Bordon, who used to be our manager, but then he moved away because he couldn't stand us. And he's the one that kind of really whipped us into shape to have physical copies of CDs. Cause we're like, oh, nobody will buy it. And he's like, you better bring those CDs or I'm going to puncture your tire.
Josh, remember that time we only brought two CDs?
Oh my gosh. So we had this huge show in Anchorage, like a bunch of really big bands. And we had our suitcase and we had t-shirts. And he said, you got t-shirts, you got CDs, right? Like, yeah, we got them. And so we got there, we opened up our merch and he was going to sell it for us. And he's like, you guys have two CDs. It's like, yeah. It's like, you brought two CDs to a sold out gig. Yeah.
That way you could say you sold out a CD.
Yeah, we did. No, I wish I would have thought of that. Yeah. It wouldn't have worked. He still would have been angry. But yeah, we're getting better with having the physical albums, having the t-shirts. He kind of whipped us into shape for that.
It's funny, you know, when you go to a live gig, you still want to take some of that home with you. Oh, yeah. And you're ready for it then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of the way bands are making some of their money these days, too. Oh, yeah. Is getting paid at the gig, but then selling all that merch that goes along with it, mm-hmm. too. So. But yeah, so you'll print some CDs from this new one and you'll take them with you to your gigs.
Yeah, we'll bring them. This is on air. It's official.
Yes, it is.
It's written in stone.
And do you have a gig coming up soon?
We're playing in at Sitzmark in February.
Oh, in Girdwood.
In Girdwood, yeah, mm-hmm. which is always super fun with a bunch of other friends of ours, actually, are in bands there.
Great.
And so that's our next gig. We've been trying to hold off on playing gigs because we really want to finish this record, and we're recording it and tracking it between full-time overtime jobs and families. And the guy who's recording us, Eric Gettinger, a really good friend of ours, he's doing more work than he needs to do. But he has a full-time job and he has a family, so it's we're taken away from shows for a while and just focusing. And it's paying off. We're learning a lot about focus and prioritizing.
And when you play gigs, you usually are more plugged-in configuration with electric guitar and acoustic guitar.
Yes, ma'am.
And bass usually is what you play, Brennan, right?
We actually switch off.
Oh, do you? Yeah. Okay.
It's about half and half. Yeah, so his songs, he'll play guitar, and then my songs, I'll play guitar. And we've written about 50-50 on that. So.
Yeah.
Kind of switch. I mean, in the middle of the set, we'll switch.
Yeah.
It's we try to make it as interesting as possible.
And Joel doesn't go overboard with the drum kit, but he does get to play a drum kit usually.
Usually.
And today we have the box of drums, right. Otherwise known as cajon. And it's a super fun instrument. Does it have some sort of chains in there?
Yeah, it's got snares in there. Like
snares, that's
snare
what they're
drum.
Called. They're
so
not chains.
It gives you the snare sound.
Yeah.
And I don't treat any of my drums good, so that one sits in my car. And I'm like, I don't want to even bring that in. Like, I'll just leave it in there. So it's got a bunch of cracks, but I think the cracks actually make it sound a lot better. And
it gives a unique sound.
Yeah, it does. It hurts your hands, though, when you get wailing on it. It's like, I played it at like bigger venues where you mic it and everything, and you bang on it, and it's terrible.
Right, a whole show playing the cajon kind of beats your hands up, I would say, because you're physically just hitting it with your bare hands.
And it's not like, I mean, I'm sure I'm just playing it wrong. I'm sure like somebody out there would be like, oh, you just play like this, it doesn't hurt. But like, if you play like a djembe, you can play it right and it doesn't hurt your hands. But I've tried like the same techniques on that and it just hurts. I think it's just because you're just hitting lacquered wood with your palm and that's it.
You need some elaborate taping job to happen.
Some
gloves.
Yeah.
Well, it's really nice to not have to worry about all that stuff this time. Not that we don't encourage drummers to bring in, you know, half of their kit at least to Alaska Live, but in this case, it's kind of nice to be simplified. It's good. It's really good. Well, the simplified version of Young Fangs are here for Alaska Live, and so let's hear more acoustic stuff.
What do you want to do?
See you great.
All right.
In the world couldn't save me. Lift my body up toward the sky. Whisper those words as it lay me. But don't let the light leave my eyes. I think I'm feeling better now. Erase these cracks from my bones. Tell all the people that came for me. I won't be leaving alone. Thank you.
comes and empties come into hope.
I'm ready now, and I waste all my time. I waste all my time.
I was going to say, like, a lot of your songs have a really positive vibe, and that one still has a positive vibe, but it's got a little bit of that creepy sound, too.
Yeah.
Who let that creep in?
I know, we talk a lot about, like, oh, you know, is this song going to fit with the rest of our songs? Like, you know, should we write, like a kind of a happy, upbeat record, or, like, you know, more dark,
moody,
yeah. But and then usually we just kind of come back to, oh, does it sound good? Yeah, it sounds good. And then we tried to, like, I don't know, coordinate our songs to kind of make, you know, one sound, I guess, for our record and stuff. But usually I think after a while we kind of like, oh, you know what, those actually all do kind of fit in their own way, whether they're, you know, more upbeat or a little bit darker. But
well, we all go through many emotions in one day. Some go through them in, you know, an hour or whatever, too. Yeah. So it's okay to go through many emotions on an album, I think.
Yeah, I think it makes it more together. It makes the album, like, more solid, more well-rounded, you know, so.
Yeah, you want to listen to more of it. You're like, oh, right, that next song is that one that's, oh, that's a little dark. I like that one. And then bring it back to, yeah. You didn't know you're gonna have a light show in here, the blinking lights.
Cool. This is more of a light show than most of our shows, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Radio show with a light show. I don't know. One of our lights is blinking. One of our track lights happens to be blinking every once in a while. Did you notice, Joel, that you had some?
Well, I was moving to the beat of it, though.
Yeah. It seemed like you might have been controlling it with the drums a bit.
No, I think I was. I think I was.
Has your music changed since you've moved out of the cabin and into maybe places with running water, and you live in separate abodes with families and stuff? Do you think your sound has changed, or
I think it has changed, but I think it's just because we're older and we've had more experiences, and I think we have less time to practice and play the songs that we've been writing. Like, back then, we could just almost every night, like twice or even twice a week.
That was your entertainment.
That's what we did, you know. And but now we have it's a lot less time to do that, and so we are a lot more focused on what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I don't think that can help but change what you play and how you play. And so. And Joel and I have been playing music at our church, and we play with these other musicians that are 50 times better than us. And so that is
inspiring.
Yeah, it forces us to play well and to play on time and to learn how to play the guitar. And it's really cool. And so over the last so many years, you know, we've just been honing our craft more and more. And that's what's changed, is that we've learned how to prioritize and write apart and together. So,
and I saw on your website, Young Fang's website, that you play at Joel's Place quite a bit, all ages shows. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about how that got started.
We just got emailed about it. Mm-hmm. We really love playing all age shows. And when I was growing up, I grew up most of my high school was in Hawaii, on Oahu, and everybody was in a band and everybody was playing. There was all kinds of all age shows that are happening because everybody was under 21 or under 18.
It's hard to keep people off the beach.
Yeah, yeah, right. And so, yeah, exactly. And so up here it was like when the opportunity arose to kind of give back in that way. That I'm older, it's really cool to give back to me. Basically, it's me being a kid, and I wanted to kind of facilitate that. So we've been more every time they contact us about it because they heard about us. We've been like, absolutely.
And Joel's Place is a place for kids to go after school mm-hmm. and on weekends, and they have activities there. And
they do. They have two skate parks now. They have one big one inside. They have a big one outside for the summer. They have video games. They have food. They have a stage where kids can actually come up and practice music and drums almost any time of the day. And you can schedule time for your band to practice there. Nice. It's really – it's an awesome thing. Yeah. My friend Chris Huffman is kind of helping out with it right now and running it, and he's an amazing dude. And he's one of the kids back in the day at Joel's Place who was playing and skateboarding there. So it's cool that he kind of came first full circle to facilitate that happening to kids too.
I mean, you hate to hear teenagers say there's nothing to do.
Oh yeah.
And then they find something to do, and it's not good.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Oh, I know what you mean.
And
yeah.
So places like Joel's Place here mm-hmm. in Fairbanks give them something constructive to somewhere to hang out where they yeah. can be creative and or they can hear a band that, you know, your band sometimes plays at places that are 21 and older. And yeah. So all ages shows are very cool for
yeah. Absolutely, yeah. It's such a cool thing that they're doing there. I mean, I think a lot of kids would not give into a lot of bad stuff if they had an alternative,
yeah,
place to hang out. Yeah, that's a lot of people are searching for an alternative, and it's there. And it's cool to see that happen.
Yeah, I like to see the Groundlings with Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater. Mm-hmm. You know, kids being creative and finding their voice with that, and and bands and. You know, not every kid wants to be in the school band. A lot of kids do.
Yeah, some
don't.
Kids don't. Yeah.
But they still want to have experience with, you know, instruments and singing. And so have you been teaching some lessons at all? Or
In the past, I'd help people out with beginning. But I never really felt good enough to teach kids. I never was able to be tell a parent, yeah, I can teach your kid for money. Because then I just feel like a scammer. But I was like, I can teach them what chords are. So I've done most for kids. Kids will come up to me and ask me to teach them maybe one of our songs or a song or a cover. I can figure it out and show them. And but yeah, I've been trying to work more on my technique and start getting more traditional with my education. So, because I would love to teach guitar, that'd be a lot of fun. I love teaching. So
you guys have some intricate guitar chords and fingerwork in your mm-hmm. songs, and that's what you've been writing into them, obviously. Mm-hmm. And that shows in an acoustic show like this. And also, I mean, you can be pretty technical when you have electric guitar too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And when you play bass also. Have you picked up one of those acoustic basses yet, Brennan?
No, we talked about
those
maybe
aren't
getting
loud
one
enough.
just for like these occasions, yeah. But I don't know. Well, we might get them at one point.
Would it be loud enough?
Probably not, no.
Probably not.
It'd probably be boring.
Yeah, it's we spent, I think, a good part of 3 hours rewriting all these songs to make them acoustic, and it was a cool thing for us because it opened up our mind to think, to see like, how could we make this better or different, and how can it translate to acoustic and make still have the core of it.
You still sound like the Young Fangs, but
cool. I hope so.
Sound like Young Fangs,
whatever that sounds like.
On Alaska Live. Oh, I haven't asked you about your name yet. How'd you come up with Young Fangs? Sorry, it just occurred to me. It may be the question that you hate most, but
yeah, it's it is.
At least I left it till the end.
Yeah, we have a I used to have a Flickr account. It's a photography uploading account. And I would browse or peruse around, and I would find people's usernames that were really cool. And I'd be like, well, when I'm in a band, this is like years, it was like 2 years before we were in a band. I was like, I don't want that to be my band name. And so it was one of those names that I found. And that was actually accident. It wasn't even actually the name. I saw it wrong. And it was something else. And so,
Young Fan.
Young Fan. Something like that, yeah. And so I think it was somebody's name, Young Fan. And so our first show, the very, very, very first show, actually was me, Joel, and Max. But I like to block that one out because I doesn't feel like it counts.
Because it wasn't the three of you.
Yeah, it wasn't the three of us. But yeah, we one of our practices, they're like, what are we going to call ourselves? And because we needed a name.
Yeah,
and so I just stayed there, and people have mispronounced it. And Young Fangs is usually what people say. And not only do they say Young Fangs, but when we tell them that's not our name, they tell us that we should change it to Young Fangs because it's way more catchy.
Come on.
And and that's where the conversation usually ends.
Somebody ends up walking away.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, okay, well.
I like the name, and cool. And the story behind it is still, it's your story. You got to share it sometimes because
you got to share.
You got to share.
It's still a part of us.
Well, all right. What about the finale now? We've got time for one more from Young Fangs.
That one. All right. Yeah, this one. This is a brand spanking new one, and I'm really excited to play it.
It's called Run Red.
She left.